I suppose I have a slightly different burden than our brother has presented. This morning, we spent a lot of time praying for many who needed help, and rightly so. When we have this many people gather here, we know that we all are going through different circumstances. You know, the world phrase has this thing called smooth sailing. I don't believe we find that in scriptures. Why do we have problems? Sometimes health, sometimes jobs, sometimes, we don't like to talk about this, money. But there are various trials that the Lord put before us. Sometimes we find persecuted by those that are without. You notice when you present the name of Christ, the world doesn't want to hear about that. When you stand up for the principle from the Word of God, the world doesn't want any part of that. In fact, they will use the phrase that you're intolerant. So do we stop presenting the Word of God? Do we stop standing up for the principled? Because it's much easier not to say anything that you won't be persecuted. That's from without. And then perhaps the problem even go deeper and say it's from within. That it seems that maybe there are times that our brethren don't seem to understand us. I don't know if you feel that. Why does the Lord allow that? I'd like to turn to a portion first to begin with. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin with the Word of God on that. I won't expound much upon it. I'd like to take more on the application side than the going through it in detail. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, let's just read a couple of verses, and we'll comment it very briefly. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abound by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Well, by reading this, saying that we will be comforted in our tribulation, I think it goes without saying that there are tribulations in our lives. And we all deal with that differently. Sometimes some of us are very thick-skinned, so when someone tells us things, we either don't understand or we let it go over our head. So perhaps those scourging, in a sense, doesn't appear to us as much. And then there are some that perhaps one little word, they feel the sensitivity of it, and they feel badly and say, yep, I know they're talking about me. Well, whether it be so or not, we have difficulties. The Lord allowed that, doesn't he? He tells us that it is for our consolation. Do we think of that when there are circumstances before us? That perhaps later on, when the trial was over, and perhaps it may even be years down the road, we can use that. You know, it's kind of interesting for our family being very small. My father was the only child. In fact, it was like that for four generations. So we have no relatives, per se. So I understand who aunts and uncles and cousins, I understand what that means. I really didn't know what it's like to have them. And the first time as a family we tasted death was when my mother went home with the Lord. So for me, prior to that, when I say to someone who have lost a loved one and say, I can feel for you, I'm not sure how true that is. I do, but it's not the same feeling, is it? Then afterwards, when we've gone through that trial of losing my own mother, I have a little bit different appreciation when I tell someone, I feel for you losing your loved one. The Lord allowed that for us too. But we forget something here too, that we tend to think about me, as our brother already mentioned. We have this problem called the me syndrome. Everything happened, we think, it's about me. I'm the center of this universe, God. And we even think about our prayer. How do we pray? We may say, well, we prayed about it. Did you look to the Lord to ask for help? Or, let me say it mildly, were we demanding from the Lord that certain solutions should come? Did the Lord want to allow the trial to continue on in our lives? Or perhaps in our brethren's life? We don't know. You think about the Lord when he taught his disciples to pray. A lot of people call that the Lord's Prayer. Really, is the disciples' prayer, isn't it? What did he teach them? I know the school system have taken that away, but that shouldn't be gone from our hearts. First thing is to address God as our Father. Our Father, thou art in heaven. Do we acknowledge that? First of all, we have a God as our Father who is up in the heavenly places on high, the one who is mighty in majesty. Father, thou art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Do we acknowledge that we have a holy one? It's not about you. It's not about me. And then that could go on and say, thy will be done. Do we remember that? Thy will be done. What would his will be? Could that will be for that trial to go on a little bit longer? And I believe everything that happened, whether it's right or wrong, the Lord has his hand in it. Perhaps, you see, I was accused wrongly. And perhaps it's true. Do you think the Lord's hand is in there that you were accused wrongly? I believe so. Can we still say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? We forget that, don't we? So we find the apostle here open the chapter by saying, he didn't say, let me pray for you about your trial. That's not how he begins. He starts off by saying in verse 2, grace be to you. Grace. As the apostle can say, my grace is sufficient for thee. Go into the book of Peter's. You'll find Peter begins with grace. And then he commended them and he ends with that by saying, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll let you look that up yourself. And I believe that's also studying, isn't it? When we hear something, we need to confirm that from the Word of God. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're in trials and difficulties, do we remember to bless the one who is the blessed one, the one whom we acknowledge as our God and our Father? If we didn't see that first, it's difficult to find comfort, because then it's back to me. Why me? Lord, why me? From what I learned, even from the human standpoint, we learned that whenever we ask the question beginning with why, we're in trouble already. It's not for us to ask the Lord why. He allowed it. I'd like to just turn to for a brief example. I was thinking as we were speaking, I was thinking of Joseph. Let's turn to somewhere around the 44, 45th chapter of Genesis. Joseph was an interesting character, isn't it? That he, from what we understand, that Joseph, Word of God didn't say anything bad, any fault. He's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is a Savior. We know the story. It's not my thought to go into the story of Joseph. And if you don't know the story of Joseph, or if you haven't gone through the story of Joseph in a while, I would encourage you to study that. It's a wonderful story. Just go through that. But I just want to take some applications of that. Now, let's go to the 41st chapter first. Here's something that Joseph did that many of us have done. I see young people we were mentioning here. I see some who are expecting little ones, and they see some already have little one, and some of us used to have little one who are now big ones. We had the privilege of naming them. In scriptures, when you name a child, often there's a meaning to that name. We know that. We can look it up, various meaning. I enjoy my name, David.